Parak Zion is where we left off. And the last thing we did was a kind of, we spent a couple of weeks dealing with the philosophy of the Chacham, or the philosopher, or the wisdom, or the wise, however you want to define or translate it. And we looked at it as a kind of a philosophy of an acceptance of the world as it is, without trying to change either man or the world or God, or to recognize the experience of life itself, and which fits in very, very much with the sort of the scientific perspective on what wisdom is, which is an analysis of the world as it is. As we look out at the world and we see and we grasp it and we understand it. That's what Chachma is, to try to understand what's there. Interpretations can come later. Then we get to Pasuk Chaf Gimel. In the Pasuk of Gimel, one thing I forgot to mention, I'm going to ask if you can, anybody who has that link that I just posted, if newcomers come on and are looking for the link for the source pages, just if somebody can post that for them, that would be helpful. Okay. We are up to Pasuk of Gimel, and we sort of read this through at the end of the shiur last week, and we got stuck with this very complicated verse we're going to look at now. And this is where we left off. Kol zeh nisiti, kol zeh nisiti b'chokhmah. All of this I tested, I experienced, I tried in wisdom. Amarti echkama, I sought out to become wise. V'hi rechokah mimeni, and yet it was far from me. Rachok ma she'ayah v'amok amok mimtzeinu. Very far away, exceedingly deep. Who can possibly find it? I turned in my heart to seek, to know, to search, to seek out wisdom and understanding, to know the wickedness, and to know that wickedness is stupid, foolishness is madness. I'm just trying to understand the world. And in conclusion, what did he find out? That I found more bitter than death, woman, whose heart is snares and traps, and hands her chains. The one who pleases God shall escape from her, the sinner will be ensnared by her. This I found, says Kohelet, adding one to another to figure it all out. Asher od b'kshana shiva lo matzati, my soul seeks, I have not yet found. Adam echad me'alef matzati, a man in 1,000 I found. Yisha b'cholela lo matzati, but not one woman amongst all of them. Levad v'eze matzati, this is alone I have found. Asher asa lokim et adam yashar. Only this I have found. God has man made up, has made man straight or upright, but they search for many different calculations and accounts and various ways of bending that which God has made straight. Okay. This is one of those moments where we kind of scratch our heads and ask ourselves, what is going on here? And part of the reason why it's so confusing is because he's drawn into a world of imagery and analogy that we haven't yet familiarized ourselves with. And that's where we're really going to start our story. This is really probably the most complicated part of the story, Pasuk Chavav. But first of all, who's speaking? Let's start with a basic question always. Who's speaking? There's really only one option.
The Chacham, the wise man.
I would argue not. The wise man was speaking before, no question.
He says, Bechokhmah.
That's right. And here he rejects Chokhmah. He says, Kol zeh nisiti Chokhmah, I tried this, but it's impossible. He totally rejects Chokhmah. So if he totally rejects Chokhmah, and he talks about Tov Lifnei Elokim, the one who is good before God will escape the snares of this wicked woman, and the sinner will be caught by her, and he talks about God making man straight and man corrupting his work, then we're really back into the world of the Yirei Elokim. How that fits into what's going on, we'll see. But that's really what we're getting into now, is the reaction of the Yirei Elokim to the Chacham, where he says to him, if that's wisdom, I don't want any part of it. What the Chacham had said in his diatribe in the first half of the Perek was that there's no person who's totally righteous, and therefore there's no reason to even go through the effort. Just go with the flow, be a little righteous, a little wicked. And the Yirei Elokim says, you know, that's Chochmah. Okay, I get it, but that's not where I'm at. I went searching for wisdom, and what I found is that it's too deep, it's too far, it's too impossible to understand. And all I found was, woman is a fate worse than death. That's a phrase we'll come back to. And this is more or less where we're left with, and he will continue along that conversation between the Chacham and the Yirei Elokim in Perek Chet. You can already see in Pasuk Aleph of the next Perek, Mikeh Chacham, praise of the wise man, right? So Mikeh Chacham, that's the Chacham. And then you have Pasuk Bet that talks about, back to all the themes of the Yirei Elokim, Pimelech Shmor. So I'm going to skip that for now. We're going to focus on Perek Zayin, but this whole piece of the chapter of Perek Zayin and Perek Chet is a kind of a back and forth between the world of the Yirei Elokim, the Chacham, and the world of the Yirei Elokim. So if that's the case, we need to really unpack the centerpiece of this story, which is Pasuk Chavav, in which he describes the, and suddenly he's talking about searching for wisdom, searching for understanding, ladat, latur, lakesh, chokhmah, v'cheshbon, to understand, to seek, to become wise, to grasp the world. And his conclusion is that woman is a fate worse than death, which, quite frankly, is an astonishing conclusion, not only because it makes no sense, but also because, first of all, it's written by Shlomo HaMelech. Assuming it's written by Shlomo HaMelech, that's not something I would expect Shlomo to write. And number two, it makes no sense in context. He's searching for wisdom, and his discovery is something about woman. So how does that even relate? How does that even correlate? So we need to really understand what this pasuk is talking about. And like so many of these difficult passages in Kohelet, the assumption is, and the simplest explanation is, that he's somehow drawn on symbols, metaphors, or ideas that we are already, or should be already, familiar with, and yet we have not, we need to kind of put it on the table and understand it. So I want to really focus here on this discussion and raise the question, right? What's he saying about Isha? Her hands are chains, her snare, her heart is snares and traps. One who is pleased, good before God shall escape from her. What's going on? So let's take a look at, we're going to jump into Shlomo's world. And Shlomo's attitude, you'll forgive the phrase, which is borrowed not from modern times, but from biblical times, right? Shlomo's attitude towards women in general, or a woman in particular. What is going on in the world of Shlomo? And so for this, we need to delve and dive deep into the world of Mishlei. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to jump to Mishlei. I will tell you that in all of the various commentaries that I've seen on this discussion, there's only one that I have found that actually does exactly what we're going to do, which is jump from this verse into Mishlei. And that is a commentary known as Rav Yosef Karo. It's here in the Mikra Gedolot. Rav Yosef Karo, who makes the opposite. Everybody else takes it more symbolic, the reference to heresy and all kinds of things, says Rav Yosef Karo, very simply, the issue of Isha is, this is the woman who is referred to in Sefer Mishlei in many places. So let's jump into Sefer Mishlei and try to understand what we're talking about. So let's first start with the most famous passage in all of Mishlei. The most famous passage in all of Mishlei is clearly the end, the last chapter of Mishlei. What is the last chapter of Mishlei? Eshet Chayil. And Eshet Chayil begins, Eshet Chayil mi yimtza v'lechok mifnim yichva, who can find a worthy woman of prices far above pearls or rubies, batachled by bala, right? The rest of Eshet Chayil is very familiar to us. It starts with this beautiful description of a woman and her family and her devotion and her chesed and her professional work and all of her successes. And then, of course, at the end, it talks about Sheker Achen, Ve'abal Hayof, Isha Yirat Hashem, Miti Talal, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. A woman who fears God shall be praised. There's a couple of references in this verse to themes that we've seen in Kohelet. Hevel is a Kohelet term. Yirat Hashem is a Kohelet term. We'll see what they mean as well. But what is Mishlei essentially describing? What is Mishlei talking about? There's a fascinating, the Mishlei spends a great deal of time addressing questions related to the status of women, the role of women, the relationship with women, to women, on something which we need to understand. I'll give you another example. If we look at, I'm going to jump for a minute to Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Chaf Bet. Matza Isha, Matza Tov. One who finds a woman, a wife, finds a good thing. V'yafek Ratzon Hashem, and obtains favor in God's eyes. Actually, this verse has a very unique parallel, because if you look at it carefully, Matza Isha, Matza Tov, compare that to our text in Kohelet, which is Umotze Ani Mamima V'tata Isha. You end up with a very interesting kind of almost textual nuance. The positive reflection of Mishlei, one who finds a woman finds goodness, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, and the phrase in Kohelet of, I found woman a fate worse than death, Matzah Nimami Mavet Isha, both these sentences start with almost the same word. You ever notice that? Now, that actually doesn't, is not new. Is a reference Chazal make. Chazal say it in a number of places. Very famous passage or comparison in the Medrash. But again, the Medrash picks up on the assumption that there are two different kind of, if you're looking at the perspective from a man and his relationship with his wife, then there is, in the context of marriage, then a successful marriage is a marriage in which a person finds a good wife, a loyal wife, a wife that is kind of a good partner, and an unsuccessful marriage fails on that point. And so the Medrash Tanchuma, for example, picks up the notion that im zacha adam, if a person merits it, matzei isha matzah tov, then we apply the principle of he who finds a good woman finds goodness, right? The im lav, if not, then motzei mami mavet ata isha. So it really depends on whether a person merits one kind of relationship or the other. Or if she's a good woman, then eshet chayil miyimtza. If she's not, then umatzah nima mimavet. Again, this kind of back and forth. Two examples. One who is good before God will escape her snares, is referring to Yosef, who escapes the snares of the wife of Potiphar. And the sinner will be caught by, referring to Zimri in the story in Bamidbar of Cosby Batsur. That's kind of a midrashic approach to this conversation. The Gemara in Yevamos famously turns this into an almost a kind of a joke, but it's unfortunately a sad joke. In Israel, in the West, referring to the land of Israel, when a person got married, Hinasiv Inish Itata, they would say to him, what kind of marriage do you have? Matzah or Motze? In code, referring to the two verses, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, Or the alternative of Kohelet Mutzani Mami Mavet Etha Isha, etc. And again, all referring to in a kind of midrashic context, the assumption that we're talking about some relationship in marriage, and that we're talking about a woman, and the husband's, a man's relationship with his wife in this context, a good marriage, a bad marriage, and how it plays out in that regard. And that's more or less how most, I would say many, Mefarshim saw the context of, let's go back to this chapter, Mishlei Perek, the last chapter of Mishlei, starting with Pasuk Yud, Eshet Chayil Miyimtza, says Rashi, referring to, right, or says the Mitzvah David, I should say, so Rashi will take it in a different direction, but says the Mitzvah David in the source pages, you have it in source 3, Eshet Chayil, when Shlomo Melech finished his entire book of Musar, and Musar that he learned from his mother, he went and he expressed praise for this Eshet Chayil, referring to whom? Says the Mitzvah David, referring to his mother. Who is in David, in Shlomo's mind, the classic paradigmatic Eshet Chayil? Batsheva, who's his mother. And with that, Mitzvah David closes the story on the book of Mishlei. On the other hand, I'm going to leave aside all these midrashim and all of these commentaries, and let's take a look at Rashi for a moment. And of course, you know, we sing Eshet Chayil every Friday night when we sit around the Shabbos table. And what are we singing to? What are we referencing to? Says Rashi, Eshet Chayil is referring to the Torah. It's not referring to a woman at all. It's referring to the Torah. And Miyimtza, who can find such a woman? Ashrei HaZoche Limtzota. Fortunate is the one who merits to find her, meaning to master the study of Torah. And Torah in this passage, says Rashi, is the woman in this passage is a mashal, is a parable to the wisdom of Torah. Says Rashi, says the Vilna Gaon, Biragura, Eshet hi HaTorah. This is referring to the Torah, and she's called Eshet Chayil because Torah is acquired through 48 ways, levels, etc., and Chayil is the gematria of 48. Interesting observation. Okay, there are a series of midrashim as well that take the approach that Torah is compared to a woman in the context. Gemara Yevamos says, "Bo rei kama tova isha tova, how good is a good woman? If matza isha matza tov, that phrase, if a fine person finds a woman, he finds goodness." Then says the Gemara, if it's referring literally to women, to a good wife, then that's self-explanatory. Whereas Iba Torah Mishtoikwa, if the Torah happens to, if the subject of that verse is not Isha, but only a parable to Torah, a metaphor for Torah, then it also reflects good on women because a good woman is compared to Torah. That's a positive statement. Tama Tovai Isha Tova, Isha Tova Nimshalaba. Similarly, in the Psikta, this I don't have a translation for, I'll just translate it on the fly. In Batorah, Katub Medaber, same phrase. If that verse is talking about Torah, Torah is compared to woman, where, as it says, Eshet Chayil Miyimtza. So fascinatingly, there is this tendency in the many Midrashim and in many of the Mefarshim to see Eshet Chayil at the end of Sefer Mishlei as a kind of metaphor or parable to, or metaphor really, to the status of Torah. And the whole parak is talking about Torah. Now, on a certain level, it sounds almost midrashic. It sounds almost homiletic, right? The pshat is, hey, she's talking about a woman, and the medrash says she's talking about Torah. But given the fact that this is the book of Mishlei, and Mishlei is a book of proverbs, metaphors, and aphorisms, right? Mishlei Shlomo, this may not be as far off from the pshat as we think. And what I would argue, actually, and what I hope to demonstrate today, is that that really is the pshat of this perek, and that what's really going on is that this chapter forms the closure to a theme and an idea and a metaphor that Shlomo builds through the entire book of Mishlei as a kind of a structure to the book of Mishlei. Mishlei starts with a 9-chapter introduction and concludes with a 1-chapter conclusion that links back directly to the major message of that introduction. It kind of forms a framework around the entire book of Mishlei. Much like the opening parable of the four cycles of nature that structure the book of Kohelet for us, or like the structure of the story of Iyov, which again creates the framework for the book of Iyov. It's not uncommon in books of philosophy in Tanakh to have that kind of structure. So what we really need to do is to understand that the metaphor of Eshet Chayil referring to Torah, we need to go back to the beginning of the book and look at the opening story of Sefer Mishlei. So today's shiur is really going to be focused primarily in Mishlei. I am, in my understanding of this story, is that if we understand what's going on in Mishlei, that verse in Kohelet will become self-explanatory. All right, so everybody with me? Ready for the journey? Okay, so we're going to jump back to the beginning. A lot of material to go. We're not going to go through all of it. We're going to go through pieces of it. So first of all, the observation that Mishlei has two starting points. Mishlei starts twice, and therefore we're dealing with an introduction or an introductory section, much like Kohelet. It started twice. We have Divrei Kohelet, and then we have another reference to that a couple of psukim later in chapter one. We have a similar thing going on here. On the one hand, we have Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. So the book starts with the statement, these are the Mishalim, these are the proverbs of Shlomo ben David, king of Israel. And then it'll continue with a discussion about what the purpose of this book, the Da'at Chochmah and Musar, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern different words of understanding, Levinim Binah, to receive instruction, L'kachat Musar Haskel, and goes on and on. There is Letet Liftaim Ormah, to give prudence to the simple, Lenar Da'at Mizimah, to give discretion and knowledge to the young man. Right? There's a lot of repetition in the phraseology of Mishlei, because that's the way poetry was written. Right? That's the beginning of the chapter. Jump for a moment with me to chapter 10. I just want to show you for a moment. I'm going to put them side by side. Beginning of chapter 10 is Mishlei Shlomo. Once again, the text begins with the Proverbs of Shlomo. I have two beginnings. I have two moments where the book starts. It starts in chapter 1, on this tab, Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. And then it starts again in chapter 10, Mishlei Shlomo, meaning the book starts here. So what are chapters 1 through 9? The simplest explanation is that chapters 1 through 9 are an introduction. So I have a very long introduction, 1 through 9, and we'll see that it's a holistic structure to that introduction. And then I have chapter 10 to the end of the book, which will continue this message. So what's going on in this introduction of Mishlei? From chapters 1 through 9. So let's go into the text a little bit and see what's happening. We started with this idea that Mishlei Shlomo, to understand wisdom and understand instruction and discernment, to give prudence to the simple. Fine. Pasuk Zayin, Yirat Hashem Rishidat, fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Chochmah Musar Avilim Bazu, the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Shema Bani, famous verse, Shema Bani Musar Avicha, V'al Titosh Tavat Emecha, listen to the words of your father, don't forsake the teachings of your mother. Ki Leviat Chen Him Noshecha, they are a necklace of beauty for your head. V'anakim L'gar Gulotecha. Okay, so far, so good. So far, nobody understands why we're even bothering with all of this. Okay. Right? Then we get to Pasuk Yud. Bni. Im yifatucha chataim al tove. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Im yimru, if they say, l'chay tanu, nerva l'adam, nitzpena l'naki chinam. If they say, come with us, we want to entice you, we want to bring you into our snares, we're going to let us lie in wait for blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, we will swallow them up like the grave, like those who go down into the pit, In other words, suddenly you realize that what's at stake here isn't just words of wisdom, good ideas, bad ideas. What's at stake here is advice that will prevent a person from being caught up in the snare and the trap that will lead one down the murky path towards the grave. If those are enticing you, if they're pulling at you, if they're saying, come, 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 it's good for you. B'ni, don't go with them. Don't be enticed by them. Hold back. For they take their feet, they run to evil. Okay? So you understand what's at stake here. My words, my teachings, my lessons, which will give you discernment, understanding, ability to discern good and evil. And those who are enticing you and pulling you into a world that will bring you down into the abyss. They lurk secretly for your own lives. Okay. Now watch what happens carefully. Chachmot b'chutz tarona. Wisdom calls out in the street. Birchovot titen kola. She utters her voice, she speaks her voice in public places. The Rosh HaMiot, the head of loud noise places, Tikra, b'fitchei sharim be'ir, at the entrance to the city gates, Amareha Tomer, she speaks her words. And what are the words of the Chochmot, this wisdom? Ad matai p'taim te'avu peti v'leitzim latzon chamdulam? How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will you, will mockers delight themselves in mockery? What's going on? What has he just described? He's described this wisdom, this counsel that he's giving to his son that will protect him from the snares who are trying to bring him down. And he's described it as Chachmot b'chutz tarona b'rechavot titen kola, as she utters her voice in public places. Who's the she? Who's the she? That's the question. Go down a little bit further. All right, I'm going to skip the rest of this for now. Let's take a look at this. But right, what she refers to in Pasuk Chaf and Chaf through Chaf Bet is he refers to this concept of Chochmah, this wisdom that he's teaching his son, almost anthropomorphized into a symbol of a somebody in the street calling out to offer these words of wisdom, calling over the high places. She stands at the gates. She stands at the cities. Amareha Tomer. She speaks her words. Who's the she? Chochmah. Wisdom. What kind of wisdom we'll see. But the notion of the personification of wisdom to infuse the fool with wisdom that will now allow him to be discerning and to prevent him from being caught in the snares and the traps of the temptation, right? That's all the description of this year, this chokhmah that is personified as in a feminine voice.
What parak are you in?
So, okay, so
What parak
right
is
now this is Mishlei Perek Aleph.
Thank you.
At the top of each page, you can see exactly what chapter I'm in. This is Mishlei Perek Aleph, and this is the very beginning of this analogy. And we're going to get to it in more detail, but I just wanted you to see how it opens up with this kind of a personification of the voice of wisdom in a feminine form who's standing outside the gates, calling out her wisdom to those who pass by. Okay, that's the context. All right, sorry, let's close that. Now let's move.
Could it be that it's like Torah Imecha, as he said before, like he said, "Shema Avi Musar
It's
Avicha, Val Titorosh Torah
too complex. It's too complex for that. That's
Imecha"?
true, but it's much more complex than that. That reference there, I think might be connected, but it's much more complex. And we'll see it as the passage, as the chapters progress. I'm going to skip a bunch of the chapters in the middle, because what we saw now with the personification of wisdom in the form of a feminine voice standing and calling out to those who would pass her by, we're going to see much more in depth. It's really interspersed throughout all of these chapters. I want to jump to the end of this. I want to jump to chapter 7. And let's take a look at this. Bini, Shmo Amarai, guard my words. Mitzvotai titzpon itach. Keep my commandments with you. Hide them. Shmor mitzvotai v'chiyai. Guard my commandments and live. Toratiki shoninecha. And my teachings like the apple of the eye. Koshrim al etzmotecha. Bind them to your fingers. Kotvim aluach libecha. Write them on the tablets of your hearts. Emor. Now listen to this verse. Emor lachochma achoti at. Umoda labinatikra. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Say to understanding, you are my relative, my partner, my relation, my the one who I sleep with. You'll forgive me, because that's what it says. Vayeda Adam et Chava Ishto. Why is it that the relationship between Adam and Chava described in the form of, and Adam knew his wife, when we're talking about the union between them that brought about conception? It's because in the metaphor of, in the language of Tanakh, and in really the language of ancient literature altogether, it was not uncommon to refer to wisdom as a kind of feminine voice, and the acquisition of wisdom as a metaphor to the union of a man and woman. So look at this verse. Say to wisdom, Achotiat, you are my sister. Remember the story of Abraham, who goes down to Mitzrayim with Sarah, and he says to Sarah, you know what, we're going to get to a place where they're not going to respect the laws of marriage. Say to them, you are my sister, right? Tell them, Achotiat, that you are my sister. And everybody always bothers by the question, why, it's an outright lie. Why would he describe Sarah as sister? And what does it mean? So I heard this from my dad, but it's a very powerful observation. The word achoti here doesn't mean sister in a union of two children of similar parents. That's not what it's referring to here. What does sister here refer to? It's the parallel phrase to moda, which is a union, meaning a relative. Achoti is almost equivalent to my beloved, achoti kala, in the language of Shir HaShirim, another book written by Shlomo, right? Achoti kala, my sister, my bride, my beloved. Say to wisdom, you are my achot, you are my chot, you are my beloved. Say to bina, to understanding, that you are my moda, you are my relative, you are my partner. In other words, given the choice, the wisdom that I've shared with you, that's the wisdom that you should have a union with. Why? Because the alternative is lishmorcha meisha zara, to protect you from the stranger woman. Minochriya amare hachlika, from the foreign woman whose words are smooth. And here he begins to describe very graphically the process by which this woman, who represents the alternative to the chokhmah that he's presented, this woman literally stands outside like a prostitute and ensnares her victims. Ki b'chalon beiti ba'ad esh nabi nishkafti, I look out of my window and I see through from where I'm in the house. Remember that symbol that he's in the house. I look out my window and I see. I see the simple ones, the fools. Avina babanim na chasalev. I see a young man void of understanding. He's walking through the shuk of Ebashuk, it's a pina, and he comes to a street corner, b'derech beitayitza, then he goes by the way of her house, that nochriya, that isha zona. The neshef erev yom bishon laila vafela, it's twilight, it's dark, it's the middle of the night, v'nei isha likrato. And this woman comes out to greet him. Shit so noun so at live with the attire of a prostitute. And crafty intent. Omiyahi, she is boisterous with the soraret and she is rebellious. Beveta lo yishkenu raglea. Her feet don't stay in her house. She's always on the street. Unlike the one who's speaking represents the chokhmah that will prevent him from sinning. He's speaking from the lattices of his house. Right? So that's also important to note. She's out on the street. She's in the squares. She's lurking at every corner. She grabs him and she kisses him. With an impudent face, she says to him, sacrifices of offerings are with me. I have paid my vows, meaning pay me and I will be on my way. To seek your face, I have found you. And she goes on and on, and then we're just going to skip to the end. Hitatu berov likha. Let's start from here. With persuasive words, she leads him astray. Bechelak svateha tidachenu. With the smoothness of her lips, she seduces him. Holech achareha pitom kishor el tevach yavo. He follows her like an ox to slaughter. Uke eches el musar evil, like a fool steps into fetters. Ad yifalach retz kvedo, until an arrow strikes to his liver, kimeherzi poel pach, like a bird hurries to its trap, to its snare, v'lo yeda ki b'nafsho, who doesn't know that it will cost his life. How did Kohelet describe this evil woman whose snares and traps, right? Same metaphor. V'ata banim shimuli, therefore my sons, listen to me, v'akshiva in limefi, and pay attention. Don't let your heart turn to her ways. Don't get caught up in her paths. She has brought down many. All who are slain were mighty. Her house goes to the grave, to the chambers of death. This chapter, almost more, perhaps more than others, lays it out. You have basically a contrast between two perspectives. You have the Ishazon on the one hand, who seduces the fool on the street, compared to, what's the contrast? The chokhmah, the wisdom that you embrace, that you marry, that you are, that is your relative, that is your union, that you guard and that protects you, that's the chokhmah that you want to, quote unquote, marry and not be caught up in the snare of the Isha Zara who roams the streets like a prostitute. Okay? So that's the contrast between the chokhmah, the wisdom that is good, and the Isha Zara, or in this case, let's put it into the analogy, the Chachmah Zarah, which we will define in a moment. That's Perek Zayin. So everybody with me? And get a sense of what Mishle is dealing with, right? This is the theme of the entire opening section of Mishle. And then he goes on in Perek Chet to a description of the alternative, which is the alternative kind of wisdom, or the chokhmah, that is good chokhmah. Halo chokhmah tikrau tfunat titen kola. Does wisdom not cry out? Wisdom also raises her voice. Berosh murim alei derech, beit nitivot nitzava, on the top of high places, by the way, where her paths meet, she stands. Liad shamim, by the gates. Mavop tachim tarona, at the entry of doors, she cries out. Elechem ishim ekra. She calls out, I send my voices to the men, to my sons. Avinu p'taim, simple ones, prudent ones, learn prudence, learn understanding. Be understanding heart. This is the positive side of this. This is the kumusari, take my wisdom, take my instruction. Right? This is ani chokhma. Wisdom is better than rubies. Remember something else that was called better than rubies? This is all the same book. This wisdom is better than rubies. Nothing can be compared to it. Fear of God is to hate evil. And so he continues to describe these two contrasts between the good wisdom and the bad wisdom, or the good woman and the bad woman. And the parallel or the metaphor is very clear. Let's do one more chapter. You'll see it. Let's go to Perek Tet. And again, he's describing these two modes of wisdom represented by these two modes of the woman who represents the wisdom. Okay, so on the one hand, we have Chachmot Bantabeta, wisdom that has built her own house. Remember that metaphor I told you about before, that the Chochmah of Torah is anchored in the house. Chatzva Modeh Shiva, carved out seven pillars. Tavchat Tivcha Moschayinah, she prepares her meat, she mixes her wine, she prepares her table. She's in the house, she's laying the table. Sholcha Narateh Tikra, she sent out her maidens. She calls from the high places. Mipet Yasuhena, if one who is simple, one who needs knowledge and wisdom, good knowledge, good wisdom, let them come here. Izvu Ptaim B'chiyu, leave the simple ways and live. Ishu B'derech Binah, walk in the way of understanding. Again, the assumption is in a positive sense. Then you will have life. Go down to a little pasuk yud, tchilat chokhmah, the beginning of wisdom, yirat Hashem. It's to fear God. We're going to come back to that theme a lot. Vidat kedushim bina, the knowledge of holiness or of the Holy One is understanding. Ki bi yirbu yamecha v'yosifu l'chashnot chayim, through me, through my wisdom, your days will be multiplied and your years will be increased. If you're wise, right? If you take this wisdom. That's up to Pasuk Yibet, option A. And through option A, there's long life. Eitz HaChaim. Kibir Buyamecha. Option B, Eshet Ksilutomia. There is a foolish woman who is loud. Ptayut Uvayid Yad'ama. Ignorant, doesn't know anything. She doesn't have the wisdom of, in this case, of what is, understand the nimshal, meaning wisdom of Torah. V'yashvala petach beta, al kisei mino mekaret. She sits at the door of her house on the seat of the high places. Likrono v'rei derech ha-miyashimu chatam, to call those who pass by to go to her ways. Mi peti yasu heina. V'chasale v'yamalo. Whoever is simple, let them turn here. Void of understanding, she says to them. Mayim gnubim yimtaku, because stolen water is sweet. The lechem starim yinam, and food eaten in secret is pleasant. V'lo yada ki lefaim shem. This fool doesn't know that in her house there are shades there, referring to all kinds of b'imkei she'ol k'rua. Her guests are in the depths of the grave or of Sheol. So, in contrast again to the wisdom of the speaker, the Chochmah of Torah, the Chochmah of the good woman, Tchilat Chochmah Yirat Hashem, right, that leads to length of days, Ki bi yirbu yamecha, in the hands of the Eshet Ksilut, the foolish woman, where you end up is b'imkei she'ol, in the depths of the grave. Now, if eshet, and then the next pasuk is Mishlei Shlomo, Perek Yud. So this is the end of the introduction. And if the end of the introduction is eshet ksilut tomia, the foolish woman is loud, ignorant, knows nothing, etc., 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 that's the end of my introduction, in contrast to the chachma, to the isha that is anchored in the house, that is the symbol of Torah in the system of wisdom, in the symbol of wisdom. How does the book end? Eshet chayil miyimsa v'rachok mipni minichra. In other words, it's not at all impossible to understand Sefer Mishlei as one holistic text that starts with a metaphor describing two possible alternatives for wisdom in this world. Good wisdom and bad wisdom. Wisdom that is acceptable, wisdom that must be rejected. And the criteria for those two, I'm going to define in a moment. But for now, it's clear that there's two different models for this wisdom, and they are represented in the mashal between the good woman and the bad woman. The woman who's a harlot and a prostitute who roams the streets, and the woman who is at their home and who provides wisdom for the fools so they can be discerning and avoid sin, and who sets her table in order to be able to provide a home for that environment. So those are the two contrasts, and then from there we've jumped to the end of the book of Eshet Chayil, and again you have that machloket, but I don't believe it's so far from the pshat to assume that Eshet Chayil is the closure to this metaphor. And it could be referring to literally to a woman, to his mother, possibly Bathsheba, or he could be referring to back to this metaphor of the isha as the symbol of chokhmah. The Rambam in the Moreh Nebuchim builds a lot on this metaphor, and the metaphor of wisdom and knowledge as a kind of as a symbol, or the notion of acquiring wisdom and internalizing wisdom based on the metaphor of the union of marriage as a kind of a symbol for that process. You have knowledge, you have the person who acquires the knowledge and the act of acquiring that knowledge. The Rambam builds that whole metaphor into this kind of similar structure. And the end of the day, that's exactly what we have. We have two very different formats of wisdom, or symbols of what wisdom represents. Hence, going back to our verse in Kohelet, Mwetzen imami mavet etayisha, says of Yosef Kara, is a direct rejection of chachmah, because it's the chacham, the words of the chacham of Kohelet, and not the words of the Yirei Elokim, meaning the Yirei Elokim says of the chacham, that is exactly the woman whose fate is worse than death and whose heart snares and traps. That's the bad woman of Mishle. You, the chacham. Whereas I, the Yirei Elokim, represent the good woman of Mishle. And that's the if you recognize Mishle in the background of this chapter, suddenly all the symbolisms and the messages become much clearer. So coming back to the question, what essentially is the core message of the book of Mishle? What distinguishes between Chochmah, which is good wisdom, and Chochmah, which is the bad wisdom, or in the language of Mishle, the Eshet Ksilut Homiya versus the Eshet Chayil, right? What is the key to make that distinction? The answer is very simple. Kohelet has a recurring, Mishle has a recurring theme. Recurring theme from one end of the text to the other. I'll show it to you in the introductory verses, but you'll see it in the, throughout the book. And to do this simply, I pulled it from the sources and put it here on the source page. It's a series of verses that all essentially argue the same message, namely, Yirat Hashem Mishitat. The beginning of knowledge starts with fear of God. Tacha Kisanudat Yirat Hashem Lobacharu. The evil woman, the man who gets caught up in the snares of the traps of the evil woman, is because they rejected Yirat Hashem, fear of heaven, as a function of knowledge. Eshit chokhmah, eshit da'at. Or in chapter 2, Yet Shem Yiten chokhmah, God gives wisdom. Mipiv da'at tunah, from his mouth is knowledge and understanding. Or in chapter 9, Tchilat chokhmah, yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is fear of God. Like the phrase, Eshit chokhmah, yirat Hashem, which is also similar in nature. V'da'at kedoshim bina. The notion in Kohelet that there is, in Mishle, that there is a good wisdom and there is a bad wisdom, much as there is a good woman and a bad woman, is a metaphor to the idea that wisdom that is acquired because God shares it is Yirat Hashem, is revealed wisdom, is Ki Hashem Yiten Chochmah. Wisdom that is acquired through only human effort and that does not include an anchor in godliness and God-fearing is the bad wisdom that is referred to in as the Isha Zonah. I'll give you another example. Let's go back for a moment to Mishle Perek Chet for a second, to the end of this Perek. I think I skipped these psukim before intentionally. again, the entire opening section, first nine chapters, are spoken in second person. The person speaking is the representation of the wisdom of Torah. Right? And they're speaking to their child, or they're speaking to their son, to warn them from the dangers of the other woman. Right? So there's this constant reference to Hashem, Hanani, God possessed me, Reshit Darko, at the beginning of his way, Kedem Yifalav Me'az, before the beginning of his days, before the world was created, Me'olam Nisachti Me'rosh Me'kad Me'aretz, I was set up from the very beginning, from the everlasting, from eternity, before the earth even existed. I was there. Not referring to God, referring to the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Torah. Ve'ein tohomot cholalti, before there was even depths, I was brought forth. Ve'ein mayanot nechbadei mayim, before there were springs, I was brought into existence. Beterem harim tohotvaro, before there were mountains in place. Lifnei gavot cholalti, before there were hills, I was brought forth. Ad lo asat eretz v'chutzot, even before God had made earth or fields. Rosh afrot tevel, when he established the heavens, bachino shemayim, there I was, shemani. When he set a circle upon the depths of the surface of the depths, when he established the skies above, when he sprang the deep, when the springs of the deep became strong, in all of these moments I was there, because what he's describing is the wisdom of Torah, and the wisdom of Torah starts, is anchored where? It's anchored in God. It's anchored in the Creator. It's anchored in the concept of Hashem. You know where we're familiar with this idea? We're familiar with this idea from the first Rashi and Chumash. And which sounds to us such a drash, but when you see it in the context of Mishlei, suddenly you understand exactly what Rashi is referring to. Rashi takes this idea, Hashem Kanani Rishit Darko, referring to the wisdom of Torah, God has acquired me, formed me, before the rest of the world was created, and infuses it into the first Pasuk and Chumash. Rishit bara Elokim et Hashemayim ve'et Haaretz, in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, says Rashi, Bereshit, all familiar with the famous question. Why does it say Bereshit? Bereshit means in the beginning of. So in the beginning of what? Says Rashi, this verse has to be expounded, as Chazal expounded it, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikret Reshit Darko, for the purpose of Torah, which is called the beginning of his ways. Reshit Darko, Ki Hashem Kanani Reshit Darko. That's exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Meaning, that we, in another form, we're familiar with the same medrash from the perspective of Yistako be'araisa u'bar alma. God looked into the Torah and created the world, which is a kind of almost a Zohar type of expression of the same idea, that God's wisdom predates even creation itself. And therefore, the wisdom of God is anchored in the fabric of the world. That's wisdom that is Reshit Darko. That is the beginning. That is where it comes from. And therefore, to really acquire wisdom, you have to start with fear of God. Yirat Hashem Reshitat. Yirat Hashem Ki Hashem Yiten Chochma. Tchilat Chochma Yirat Hashem. All of the references to that same idea. What at the core of it distinguishes between godly wisdom and earthly, manly wisdom is that godly wisdom is revealed and man's wisdom is acquired. Man's wisdom is based on the laboratory of life. We go through our experiences and we try to explore and try to understand as best we can, and what we see is what we get. Whereas, says Mishlei, God's wisdom goes back to before the world was created, before there were mountains and seas and depths and skies and heavens and universes and galaxies. Before all of that was God's wisdom. And therefore, to really understand that wisdom, you need to submit yourself, you need to accept the notion that God provides that wisdom and not from the human laboratory of our own experiences. And that's how he's going to reject the Chacham. He hasn't yet addressed, it's one more piece to this puzzle, but I'm going to have to leave it for next week because we're going to run out of time, but he hasn't yet rejected the substance of what the Chacham has said. All he has expressed is the Chacham's foundation, the mechanism, the methodology of the Chacham is to look out into the world and assess what is. Right? That's how the Chacham operates. He turns to the Nene and he says, well, what about death? He turns to the Yirei Elokim and he says, well, what about people who are hypocritical and people who are evil? And he turns to the Nehe Natan and he says, and to the Amel and he says, how can you, build so much and be frustrated by an attempt to conquer death? It's not going to happen. Right? Comes along the Yirei Elokim and he says to him, that's all the approach of the Isha Zona. That's all the approach of the woman who rejects godliness and who is a symbol of everything that is that Mishlevi speaks about. That's exactly the woman that he rejected in Mishlei. If you consider yourself good before God, you will escape from her. Go read Mishlei. That's exactly the message of Mishlei. And so this text links us directly into these two worlds. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here. What we didn't get to is a one more piece of this, which is a short kind of understanding of what the difference is between Chachma that's based on human experience and Chachma based on Yirat Hashem. There's a little bit of a piece there I want to do, but we'll probably do that. It won't take us long, and I'll leave that for next week, and we'll kind of use that as a segue into the next piece. So I'm going to stop sharing here, and we're not completely finished, but I hope that we have from this kind of a guideline or an approach to dealing with the bigger question of what is the Yirei Elokim doing with the Chacham. For now, he's rejecting him on the basis of you are the Chacham of the Isha Zona of Mishlei. You are the Chacham whose wisdom is acquired through personal experience, better or for worse, and that can be very devastating. Whereas I am the Yirei Elokim, I am the Chacham that is Yirat Hashem Reshit Chochma. Where I am the Yirei Elokim who starts with an acceptance of God's wisdom to guide us through how to navigate this world. I will stop here, and if there are any questions, we'll take questions.
Rabbi, is it possible
yes.
that what Shlomo was asking for wasn't how to look at the world and analyze and be wise through the world, but to know what God knew from the beginning?
Let me hold that answer to that question until next week, because what I haven't addressed the question addressed is what's he looking for in Mishlei, and this could have this the, your question dovetails into the question of what is Mishlei about. So the introduction sets out two modes of wisdom, but then what's the rest of the book about? Right? What's the purpose of that wisdom? So let me hold off answering that question, and hopefully we'll address it next week.
Thank you.
I have a question also.
Yes.
And I have to say I'm confused. I joined the class a little late, so I've been listening to your classes from before. So what you said today is the source of the good chokmah, let's say, is from Yirat Hashem, right? So I went back and I looked at the Chalom in Giv'on, and there he's asking for chokmat Hashem. And then comes the Mishpat Shlomo right after, like it says, Ve'az, and then obviously the connection to Mishpat Shlomo. And then they all say, Ki Chochmat Elohim Betocho, or whatever. So when Shlomo is asking for that wisdom, he's asking from God. So he's asking for Chochmat Elohim that is coming, according to what you said today, it's the Chochmah that is coming from straight from God. So where is that conflict that you explained between Etz Chaim and Etz Hadat? If Shlomo specifically, if you're connecting it to the life of Shlomo, A, and B, specifically, you also connected it to Etz Chaim and Etz Hadat. So I have to say that I'm really confused, and I was waiting all week to ask you that question, but today the question is reinforced. No, and the question is reinforced by what you said today. So I'm like, I have to say that I need explanation.
So you're not wrong.
Rabbi, just before you answer this question, what did you write first? Do we know what you wrote first? Mishle or Kohelet?
No, but I would argue, we don't know for sure, but I would argue that everything about the text itself reflects Mishle before Kohelet. Mishle represents a young man at the height of his advice and counsel to his family. Kohelet represents the bitterness of an old failed life. So Chazal, I think, say this at some point, that he wrote Shir HaShirim in his youth, Mishle in his height of his power, and Kohelet at the end of his life. But getting back to your question, I think the answer lies, if you go back to that analysis of the dream in Givon, we parsed it out. We split the text. And we did so because there's a subtlety. When God responds to Shlomo and he says, oh, I like what you said, right? That he asked for wisdom.
Right. Yeah, he said, that's what he said. I have it here. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You know, so what does it mean, Vaitava Davar? It's like, and the whole key word is Vaitava Tov, right?
Correct. Except that what Shlomo asked for was two things. And God only responds positively to one. What Shlomo asks for was Lev Tov, Lehavin, Lishpatet Amcha, Lehavin Ben Tov Lera. So Lev Tov Lahavin Lishpot Etamcha is very important. He needs that. That's Chochmat Elokim. That's the ability to be a proper judge. But Lahavin Ben Tov Lara is already different. That's to discern between good and evil. That's the Etz Hadat. And so when God answers him and he says, that's good, but he only refers to the wisdom to judge his people. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to take half your comment. I'm going to take that half, and we're going to deal with that. But there's another half there that God ignores because it is so problematic, and that's where we built, right? So there are parts of Shlomo's life where you don't see the problematic nature of it, but then there are parts towards the end of his life where you see how much it comes back to bite him. So that's what I was saying, that there's
basically what you're saying is, that makes no sense, because Lavin ben Tov Lera, then Kimi Yuchal Ishpot, you know. So he says, if I don't know how to differentiate between good and evil, and he's asking Hashem to give it to him. He's not asking, you know, a Chokhmah Chitzunit. He's asking actually to understand from Hashem to do that, and he's asking for a reason. You know, you have a Lamed HaTachlit here. Kimi Yuchal Ishpot.
So what we suggested was that that's true, but going back to Gan Eden, there was also two trees there. There was one that was an Eitz Hadat, and there was one that was an Eitz Chaim. And the Eitz Chaim was essentially God's Torah, and the Eitz Hadat was man's Torah. You can't have them both. Look at the end of that passage where God says to him, I'll give you this, but only if you observe my commandments and follow my laws will I give you long life.
Okay,
at the end of the day, you can't have both the Eitz Chaim and the Eitz Hadat. If you submit yourself to God's knowledge and God's mitzvot, then you have to be willing to let go of your own arrogance and your own control of the world. That's where Shlomo failed, because he couldn't let go of his own self. And so
I understand. What I don't understand is where you connect it to Chokhmah. I can understand that with the hubris that he had, but where do you see that it has the Chokhmah Chitzunit? Where you understand my question?
I do. Why don't we do the following? I don't want to take too much time here, and it's especially because we're having to an earlier share, but I'd be happy to continue the conversation. Just send me an email with your contact, and I'd be happy to continue this conversation. And I can kind of work it through with you with as best I can. For anybody
I appreciate
else,
appreciate it very much. Well, thank you so much.
No problem at all. And I'm putting my email in the chat if anybody needs
put
it.
Your email,
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you very much.